So some of you guys remember, I'm a tad bit unusual. Some of you guys remember, I'm a tad bit unusual. I work with youth a lot. So I could pull out my card and show you the card and jump on the pews, but we already know about that, right? Is that okay? Because it's a youth time.
Amen.
I saw a couple people up there with some radical t-shirts, not your normal church morning. And I think the worship leader, I don't always remember her being in such radical t-shirts. That was a joke. So I talk a little bit about our ministry, but two problems. One is I don't like to put it on tape. Because now they're recording. And I got home, dropped my daughter off for school in Malibu, Our Lady of Malibu Catholic School, and I went to just go get a cup of coffee. You know, I'm entitled to those every now and then. Yeah, once in a while. And so I'm sitting down in front of St. Arbucks. You know what I'm talking about? And I'm sitting down in front of this coffee shop, and I kept trying to get up. And it just seemed like the Holy Spirit restrained me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody up here know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
We should be knowing when the Holy Ghost restrains us from moving forward, or there should be time if we want to know what to do. So I'm sitting there, and the day before, there was a lady who had MS, a billionaire in Malibu, that works at this other place. She doesn't really work. She just does volunteer work. And I heard she had MS, multiple sclerosis. And I had attempted. I said, Lord, you're the healer, but I'm willing to pray for this lady.
Yeah.
If you'll give me the leading. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Now listen, I'm talking to young people. And if we don't equip our young people, even give them the seeds of following Him, the Holy Spirit, then they're going to go, we're just not really sure what you're talking about. Do you know what I'm talking about? We're not really sure what you're talking about. Do you know what I'm talking about? Oh, I'm going to have fun here this morning. So, I couldn't get up. The day before, I'm trying to pray for this lady, and they said, you know, she's not real big on Christians. She is another persuasion. And so I just kept asking, Lord, if you want me to, I'll be bold. I jump up on pews of churches. I'm not going to jump right now. I pour water on people, you know, just to kind of stir them up on a slow morning. But I couldn't get the leading, or the Bible talks about the unction. And so you're the boss. So then the next day, I dropped my daughter off for school. And I'm sitting out in front, and there's a guy here who helps run a homeless outreach. So we're talking. And I open up the local paper, and it says, Dick Van Dyke says I'm having a health issue. Doctors have checked me out. He's 87 years old. He might be 88 now. He's 87. He says, doctor says I'm in great health. He said, but every time I lay my head down, I hear a thumping in my head, and I'm sleep deprivated. And he says, can anybody help me? And he tweeted it. For all of you who don't know, a tweet is using Twitter to 140 characters or less. And so he tweeted this and said, can anybody help me? Well, I'm sitting there trying to get up and leave. The Holy Spirit restrained me from leaving. It wasn't like a, Noah, I want you to. It was just like, I tried to. So I thought, okay, you know what? I'm such a go guy. I'm constantly going, maybe. Holy, just enjoy yourself a little bit. You were just over in the Middle East, putting your life on the line for who knows how many times now. And maybe you just need a little breather at your hometown. You know what I'm talking about, right? A couple of you guys do. So, I'm sitting there, and guess who comes walking by? Dick Van Dyke. So Dick Van Dyke comes walking by, and the Holy Spirit said, I mean, boom, like this. Go, pray for him. And Lord, that's Dick Van Dyke, you know, I'm trying to think of one of his, you know, the Mary Poppins thing, and all, you know what I'm saying? You know, anybody know what I'm talking about? Sure we do. We all know about him. Well, maybe some of the kids don't know about him. So he's sitting there, and I turn to this guy next to me, and he knows the Serbian guy he's having coffee with. I said, go introduce me real quick. The guy said, no, I can't talk to you. You're the preacher. If God's telling you to do something, you better go do something. So I get up, and what I do when I don't know what to do, which is, you probably figure a lot of times, I go in the restroom and wash my hands. I don't know what it is with the rest. I get my composure, you know what I'm saying? I mean, so I go wash my hands. I come out, and he's kind of hiding behind a telephone pole or a structure that's about the size of a telephone pole and having coffee or something like this. So I just go, okay, we're just jumping in cliff style. That's me. I'm cliff style. Yeah, you're a tough crowd this morning. Stay around this week because they're having veal, I hear, down the street. Oh, yeah, there he is right there. He's a nice guy. And so anyway, so I go out to the thing, and I said, Mr. Van Dyke, and I shake his hand, and I said, Mr. Van Dyke, he said, yes, I said, I'm a bona fide clergy. So I pull out my clergy card. Yeah, and he looks at it, he says, can I keep this? And I'm thinking, no, that's my clergy card. I don't know why I thought that, and the phone number, he's not going to be able to call me. And so I said, sir, I don't know what you believe in, but I read your tweet. He said, oh yeah, what did my tweet say? I said, about the sleep deprivation. And you're having some problems. And he said, yeah. And I said, I don't know what you believe, but I'd like to pray for you. He goes, oh yeah, I believe in prayer. And he starts to walk away. And I said, no, sir. I said, now, can you believe it? This is Dick Van Dyke. I said, no, sir. I'd like to pray for you right now. And he's awesome. He's okay, yeah, you can pray for him. I remember what I prayed for him. 3 weeks later, they found out his tooth was picking up a radio station. And so that was the thumping in his head. So I can't wait to see him again. I'm going to say, do you remember me? He's like, I'm going to say, I was the reverend, the preacher, who prayed for you. And then I'm going to give him a card to my Bible study because I didn't have my Bible study card with me. And the most he could say is no, right? But he remembers that I kind of jumped up, kind of half got in his face. Now, you know, God needs some of these kind of people. You know that? Okay, I think I'm going to preach to these guys, right? God needs some of these people. Just get in people's face. Okay, amen. So anyway, if you want to look back there, we've got our table set up. We've got a little table set up. We've got some of the shots of the last place. We are always believing God for partners. We can't do this on our own. We can't. You guys partner with us, we thank God for you. We thank God for every partner. I don't care if someone gives $100,000 if they give $5. I have 1 million people giving $5. That's $5 million a month. Are you with me? And I don't believe God counts anything too small, and he certainly doesn't count anything too large. He certainly doesn't think, man, you guys are a tough crowd this morning. But we are, our goal is to reach the unreached. Amen. And I like it. I like it when I come back from somewhere, ends in a queue, and I'm sitting there and the Holy Ghost won't let me get up, and then he challenged me to go. He commanded me to go pray for this man. And the amazing part is the day before, he wouldn't let me pray for that lady. He wouldn't give me any unction or leading. Listen, I'm dropping some words on us this morning. I hope it's not just for the youth. So I think we have some envelopes back there. We are always believing for partners. Our goal this summer is 1,000 partners for the next step. We have our next projected plan is 100,000 young people in Jaipur, India. My wife is trying to give me some hints. So my wife said this. She said, make a commitment for 12 months, any amount. Read our reports. Follow what we're doing, and like the head of Rhema Germany said, he said, you know, most likely you'll commit to another 12 months. Take a shot. See what God's doing in our lives. The Bible says, at Ziklag, David said this, that those who stayed by the stuff and those who went to the field, went into battle, they received the same reward.
Right.
Because remember what happened? When a bunch of them left, nothing was left behind, they came and they ravaged. I don't remember if the Philistines or not, but somebody came in and took their wives and their children, burned their houses down. You got to have some people staying by the stuff. Yes, we're going to have a good time this morning. Well, I'm going to have a good time this morning. Okay. Anyway, so go look back on our table back there. I think we're limited on envelopes, but we have brochures in there. And listen, we are a team that works together. I believe when the body of Christ makes it up into heaven, and maybe you don't want to go the places we go. I think somebody said that, right? Mm-hmm. Listen, sometimes I don't want to go the places I go. I got one of my colleagues who goes with me, he tells me, he goes, Cliff, I'm not comfortable with this. I said, Joe, I'm not comfortable with this when I do it. But I've been given the commandment to go. And once, you know the thing that I find out with God is once you take one step, it's not like he backs off and goes, I was back there at the VFW, got that one thing right here that one time. No, he says it's time to go another time. And then the problem is when you take the next step, he says, I need you to take the next step, and I need you to take the next step from faith to faith, right? From glory to glory. So I'm gonna teach this morning, and we didn't plan any of this. We didn't plan the Wave Conference. We didn't plan the beginning of that song. Tom, right?
Yeah.
Listen. I'm right in there with his auntie.
Yeah.
Tom, I heard about Tom. Second in class, right?
Yeah.
Pretty close to top, right?
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. I like it that the top graduates are coming to church.
Amen.
I like it that the top graduates are sitting up here on the worship team instead of sitting in the back going, yeah, I just don't know if I want to be at church this weekend. Okay, Mom, I'll go. None of us corroborated on this or collaborated. There was no corroboration or collaboration. We didn't plan this like, hey, what are you guys going to be singing this morning? Hey, let's introduce the Way Conference. I'm trying to get us to lighten up a little bit here. Right? You know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever had a miracle financially? You're praying, and God, you gotta help me! And then God helps you and you step back and go, whoa, you really did it! Like, yeah, exactly! That's exactly, you're like, wow, you came through! Like you're Almighty God the Father or something! That's what He is!
Amen.
I'm gonna have so much fun this morning. Okay, I'm just gonna let you know that, alright? So, something happens every time. Now, I've studied this in depth, well, in the depth that I'm capable of, in my capacity. And one of them does talk about that they tried to make Jesus king after the feeding of the 5,000. Okay? But two accounts don't talk anything about that. And it says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. Where are they going to? They're going to the other side. And he made them get in the boat and go to the other side. I don't think he was like, so guys, listen, we're going to have a board meeting today. And after the feeding of the 5,000, whether they were making him king or not, I just want to, how many of you would vote that we should go to the other? Well, I'll vote. No, I'm not for it. No, he made them. Now, if you understand, the more I get to the Middle East, your rabbi or your leader, listen, whatever he does, you're going to get to do. Do you know that? That's why they were so powerfully enamored beyond enamorment. You know what I'm talking about? They were just like, wow, look at the miracles he does, because they knew they were going to be able to walk in the same authority. You understand this, right?
Yeah.
I mean, when you, the more I go to the Middle East, the more the word just, bam, comes so alive. And so he says to them, immediately, you're going to go. He makes his disciples. It's not like they have a choice. Well, today I'm not feeling real good today, Jesus. Can I clock out and go take a vacation? We're right by the sea right now. That's not what happens. They get in the boat and they start going. And they just had a massive miracle. How many of you ever ran sports or did any kind of prop? You ever play like a real big football game? And at the end of it, when you won, you know what I'm talking about? Or you lost. Anybody out here? And you lost, and it was almost like you get this emotional, like, whoa. And they ran track, and when you won at the end, you're just like, oh, I'm so, you know what I mean? Uh-oh. There's some issues going on here. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, how about a crunch time at work, and you had to get this project done, and you get it done, and you're like, oh, yeah, you know what, I say amen corner back there. And you know what I'm talking about? You go, oh, you're drained. I think that's how these boys were. They just seen a massive miracle. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but it says this. It says, we always read about the 5,000, right? But it says in verse 21, it says, now these who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Now, statistically, most of the time, there's more women in church than there are men. Amen on that one? So you got to figure, if there was at least 5,000 men, there had to be 7,500 women. Right? Can we guesstimate that? Then where there's men and there's women, oh, there's a natural outcome. They call them children. And then when there's children, then there tends to be a few babushkas or grandmas. That 5,000 right there could have easily been 10,000, 15,000 people off of 5 loaves. Right? And a couple fishes. Listen, I know people say, well, you don't understand, back in those days, they had some pretty big fish. The loaves were really big. Listen, nobody's going to, I mean, we couldn't, 5 loaves between all of us right here, they'd be gone like this. And then if you, then I think God always gives a little disclaimer in there. The little boy, could you see him driving, dragging 5 big loaves? Hey, I got my lunch here. Does anybody have any food? I got a little nibble over here. I got 2 whales Mama packed in my lunch. I think we could devour those. No, it doesn't happen that way, does it? He's a little kid. I don't care if they were big fish. You know, big fish or the fish that got away, big fish. Right? Are we getting somewhere? Or I'm just having fun. So he said, so let's just figure 15,000. I don't care who you are. You just watched all that stuff get multiplied. Your brain is going ting, 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 ting. Do you know what just happened, Jesus? And he says immediately. Now this is my interpretation. Okay? I gave you the other part. They said they were going to make him king. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get in the boat and go before him to the other side. Well, now remember, I'm sitting, this all just flooded in on me while I'm sitting in Bonn, Germany on the front row of a service. And when he sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, I'm okay with babies, okay? I work with young people a lot. It says, now when the evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, I always have this picture, I don't want to get ahead of myself again, but I always have this picture, you know, just a calm sea, and Jesus and a boat, you know, and la, la. And he's like ice skating. La, 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 la. But that's not what it said. It said the wind and the wave. This is the Tiberias Sea. This is like, I've been out surfing, because I used to be a surfer, in like 20-foot waves. Almost as high as that ceiling. Or maybe, actually, you know what, that's 6 and 6, that's 12. Higher than that ceiling. Wind and waves are boisterous, man. You could have waves like that. So it's not like, I mean, if anything, he'd be coming down. Hey, guys! Hey, guys! Hey, guys! You know what I'm saying? You get the picture? We get the picture? So here he says, now the boat was in the middle of the sea, verse 24, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, now I've researched this, the fourth watch is 3 a.m. to sunrise, 5 to 6 a.m. Why does Jesus always come at the darkest hour? I don't know. But he does, doesn't he? Seems like he does. Does he have a plan? I'm sure he has a plan. Why is he? I don't know. Why does he come when everything's like in turmoil? Why is when we're doing everything he tells us to do, and then all proverbial H-E double hockey sticks is going on around? Ah! The waves are like this, and it's totally nighttime. I can't see! What's happening? We're gonna die! Anybody ever feel like that? In their walk with God? Anybody? It like takes like 2 or 3 services after I leave before everyone calms down to normal. Pastor, I'm like, stop it, you guys. You're getting too rowdy in this church. So the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. Now, I'm telling you, once again, my vision when I was just a tad young Christian was this calm sea, and they see him walking. Hey, guys, how you doing? But I don't think that's how it was. Boisterous, contrary wind. I could just drop it. What's that? It looks like a goat. What's that? Whoa, where are we going? You know, bailing water, whatever they're doing. And I had some other ideas about this, which I can't 100% verify, but when he touched me that morning in Bonn, Germany, he says, when the disciples saw him, verse 26, walking in the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost, and they cried out for fear. And immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, now I always read it in King James, bid me to come. I always thought it was like, I still had that picture, you know, the calm water. Oh, thou Jesus, if it is you, biddest me to come to you. If it be thy will, I will walk on the water. Now, he says, command me, and I looked it up. It actually means order. I think Peter had a revelation back from when he first met Jesus, and Jesus said, follow me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. And he knew if he said follow, it means anywhere I went. This is what my belief is. And when he saw Jesus out there and he recognized that it's Jesus, he's like, wait a minute, wait. If he's walking on the water, he said for me to follow him, that means I get to walk on the water. Now these guys are screaming out in fear, right? Because we read it, right? And so then he's like, oh, how did Peter do this? All of a sudden he goes, whoa, I get to walk on water. How many of us do that with our walk with Jesus? He says, come on, let's have some fun in our walk. Let's have Cliff Graham once a year. And that's enough fun we need, right? And so what happens? He goes like this. I think Peter just all of a sudden, he just had to flash, this is my interpretation, flashback, follow me and I'll make you become fishers of men. Remember, he's speaking his language. Follow me. And all of a sudden, Peter's like, because they said they all cried out with fear, right? And then they're like, I get to go, Jesus. And all of a sudden he goes, bing, I get to walk on the water too. And he says, Lord, if it's really you, command me to, because he knew whatever Jesus said happened, right? And so then what did Peter do? I said, yeah, I know it's up there, but I got to read it. He said, come. It wasn't a suggestion. And when Peter had come, and I'll tell you, when I saw this, I always thought it was that thing, you know, the quiet. I'm laying this picture out pretty clear, aren't I? I always just thought they're all hanging out in this boisterous thing. Why do we get these pictures? This ice-like field out there of water. And they see Jesus strolling through the water. It says the wind was boisterous. And then I just see Peter just tipping out of the little baby rowboat. Right? Isn't that what we think? That we see those pictures of that? But it says he came down out of the boat. Now my picture, and I can't 100% verify, now my picture is not Peter just stepping over into the splashing waves, because now it's a whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. Am I getting that one? Should I stand up here and do it like that? Whoosh, whoosh. I see Peter dropping himself off the side of the boat. Now this is Peter. This isn't Matthew the tax collector. You with me? There were four fishermen that we know of, but I don't know what those other guys, they might have been carpenters. And isn't it funny, we just think, oh yes, blind faith when Jesus was around. Whatever he said, people did it. This is Peter. Peter had a knowledge of the water. This is not some random dude who's like out on the water like, yeah, hey, Jesus is doing it, must be super easy. No, Peter lived in the water. I was a surfer. I knew exactly how it worked. I knew what to jump. I knew how to, when you ride the top of the wave, you jump off, you do a flip because it's fun. I know when the waves pound you. So Peter's mental capacities must have gone, bing, 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 bing. Am I doing enough noises? And here he is. He just boldly steps out. You don't know how many times I preach about that. I'll preach in the summer at Rhema Youth Camp in the Northeast. He boldly steps out and watch what happens. He says, and I'm getting all this download while they're worshiping. I'm trying to peek in here, you know, in the German culture. I'm not supposed to be breaking any rules. Hallelujah. And he says this, he goes, and we're at verse 29. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, okay, I see him dropping down, like off the side of the boat. And I've read some different accounts of this, but I think that's why there's only one person makes mention of this, except for John. I think John and Peter had some kind of issue sometimes, you know, like Peter's always like, hey, what are you? Hey, Jesus, you're my best friend, all this kind of stuff. I think John and Peter, and I think John had to just kind of overlook Peter sometimes. That's my opinion. And just to walk in love, because we know he was a love walker. And I think sometimes he's like, oh boy, I could write some things about you, Peter, but I'm not going to, because I'm going to walk in love. And so I think there's a few times that John's just like, Lord, can you just let me not write about Peter, right? Because I'm just not at that place right now to be able to communicate my true feelings by being led by the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? So when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. You know, we could have finished right there. That would have been a powerful statement right there. But then, I know you're reading it behind, over my shoulder. It's not polite to read over people's shoulder. We should know that here, right? I'm kidding. Just keep letting go. And so then he said, but when he saw that the wind was boisterous, so there again, this was not some, we call, when we're surfers, we call the glass. The morning was glass when the water was perfect because you're going to get the best ride. He saw the wind was boisterous. He was afraid. So fear entered him. First, there's this total boldness. Fisherman Peter, not Matthew tax collector, not accountant guy, not a mafia guy. Just this is Peter, the fisherman. And he was afraid. He lets fear enter. And beginning to sink, he cries out saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, Peter, you did a good job, buddy. You took 3 or 4 steps. Next time you'll take a few more steps. No, you read on my shoulder, don't you? He said, Peter, can you see Jesus? This is not my idea of who Jesus is. He's a nice baby. You took a nice little step on the water. Good boy. You went fall down, go boom. No, that's not what he did. He goes, Peter, can you see? I think this is what got Peter to stand up on the day of Pentecost. Is he remembered these encounters with Jesus. He didn't just say, Peter, you good boy, coming to pull your head in my chair, you know, love on you. No. And now you other guys, none of you were bold enough to step out. So I'm just going to use Peter as the example. No, he scolded him in front. Now this was huge. In the Middle East, this is huge when you do this. In front of everybody else. He said, Peter. Oh, well, he didn't say Peter. He said, oh, you of little faith. You got a little bit of faith, buddy. He said, why did you doubt? So immediately the Lord drops this in my heart. He says, 3 things happen. He said, when you're doing what I told you to do, you're just about your father's business. You're just doing it. And he said, the problems arise. He said, I'm already on my way. I see your problem. I'm already on your way. And then now you got to remember, I was in Zurich. Some problems started to arise. I'm presenting the largest project of our ministry at that time, probably still to this day. And he goes, I'm already on my way, but it might not be how you think. You with me? Then the second thing he drops in me, he says, listen, he says, Peter steps out on the water and he saw that the wind and the waves were boisterous. The wind and the waves were boisterous way before that. So how was Peter able to do that? He said, you keep your eyes on me. First thing he said, he goes, when you're going about doing what I asked you to do, he said, I already see your challenges and I'm already on my way. And if you go, we'll look in Mark real quick to another account of it. It says he was up, he saw them straining as they were rowing. And he saw them from up there, and then the next thing we know, he's walking on the water. And so then he says, the second thing is he says, the circumstance were already there. How many of you could attest to that? If you've got a challenge in your life, circumstance were already there. But somehow, in the midst of it, in the dark and midnight hour, darkest before the dawn, we're all doing this, and what happens? Oh, I know! But it was already happening before that. If you're really honest with yourself, it was already there. And he says this, he says, you keep your eyes on me. Because as long as Peter was looking at Jesus, everything was okay. But when he got off on the circumstances, they were already there. And then the third thing, we'll turn to Mark. We'll look at the account in there. I know I had some water somewhere. Mark chapter 6. It says, we'll just do verse 47. We'll do 40, 45. Immediately, he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. So where did he tell them to go? He said to go to the other side. He didn't say, hey, let me tell you what's going to happen because I'm Jesus and I see everything. Halfway across, you're going to have to start having some serious problems. And what I want you to do is start to panic. And while you're panicking, screaming out with fear, you're going to see me come wandering along and just get ready because it's going to be me. He didn't tell him all this stuff, right? But he says, go before him to the other side. So he gave him one instruction, go to the other side. Now they just seen a miracle. 10,000, 16,000 people, who knows, eating off 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And then here they are, they're rowing. Now you got to remember, they've been rowing all night, right? Because they got in that boat and it was several hours later in the fourth watch. So they're probably tired. How many of you, when you get tired? Come on, we're farming country out here. You're out there in the field and all, you know, you got to get that work done. You know, I'm tired and I'm hungry. And that's the clearest thinking you have, right? All of a sudden you're like, oh yes, I know exactly what. Okay, drop it. No, you're worn out. You're burnt. You're ready to, oh my God, it's over, Jesus. It was so nice. I'll run with you 3 years. None of us do that. Much. I like, thank you, Larry, for that honesty. You want to get up and give your name? I'm Larry, and I have dealt with these problems before. Immediately, he gave his disciples, he made his disciples get into, now we're in Matthew chapter 6. He says, and he sent the multitudes away, and when he sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. And watch this, he said, then he saw them straining at rowing. He saw from up there, he saw, hey, there's my guys there. I think one of them says 3 to 4 miles away. For the wind was against them, excuse me. Now about the fourth watch of the night, so somewhere between 3 and 5 or 6 in the morning, he came to them walking on the sea. This is what the Lord said to me. Watch this. He said, and would have passed them by.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I think Jesus knows a whole lot more what he's doing than we think he knows what he's doing. So here, can you see him? He's like, they're out there. What are we doing? What are we doing? And Jesus is like, because I'm singing in the rain. Hey, guys, just sing. Nah, okay, I'm not trying to be sacrilegious. I'm just, you know, the Bible says, it's like he acted like he would have passed him by. Anybody know what that feels like? You're just doing what he told you to do. The troubles come. You've had a little bit of victory. You got like 3 steps on the water. I used to be a surfer. This is huge, man. 3 steps on the water. You're breaking all natural laws. Literally. Literally. You know what I'm saying? All natural. It's impossible to walk on the water. But here's Jesus doing it. And then he acts like he's going to pass him by. Peter gets his couple steps in there. Jesus, no, you got to. Can you see him just, that picture just dripping, just over and around. I mean, the guy could swim. He was a fisherman. Right?
Yeah.
And he says this, he goes, don't let me pass you by. I've got your miracle.
Yeah.
You with me? Now I'm going to help you something. I find it amazing. Now, I'm a firm believer that the Bible is written perfectly. How many of us believe that? There's no mistakes in here. And if you read several accounts, I'm going to stay in Mark, but if you look right around the time Jesus walked on the water, do you know what happened around that time? He fed the 5,000, and then, you wouldn't believe this, he does it a second time. He feeds the 4,000 besides women and children. Now, you would have thought, being Jesus, having planned, the Bible says the worlds were created through him. So you would have think, you know, guys, hey, they're having their business meeting. They're like, okay, guys, that last time, I mean, my father came through. But the next time, when we have a multitude like that, I need you to have about 50 carts of food. You with me? Don't you think, because how intelligent he is, all-seeing, all-knowing, he would have said, there's another time this is going to happen. No, I believe he put it in the Bible for a reason. Say, as we're about our Father's business, and when I say our Father's business, he said, there's going to come another time that you're going to have to draw on me the way you drew on me before. You with me? You're going to have to pull on me. And we're winding down, okay? Everyone doing all right? We having fun? And so, he feeds the 5,000 besides women and children. He feeds the 4,000 besides women and children. It says it in there. But then let me tell you what happens after that. 3 things he dropped in my heart. One. Remember the one? What is it? I already see your challenges. I'm already on the way when you're about doing what I asked you to do. Second thing. Do you remember what it was? Amen. No, that's the third thing. Second thing. keep your eyes on me. The challenges were already there when you started walking on the water. And then the third one, don't let me pass you by. I've got your miracle. Watch this. This is what he says to them, and then we're done. I'm in Mark. Mark chapter 8. We're going to start from 15 because we can. No, 14. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, and they did not have more. They didn't have more than one loaf with them in the boat. You would have thought after the second time, if you had hung out with Jesus and there was two miracle feedings, you think you would have stuffed a couple extra things? You think so? Because they took one. I mean, there's 12 of them with them in the boat, right? And so they're in the boat, and watch what happens. And then we're almost done. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And it says, and they reasoned among themselves. Sometimes this is our biggest problem right here. They reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. And Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, why do you reason because you have no bread? And here's the rabbi, the Middle Eastern rabbi. Listen, they aren't politically correct there. Okay, they're just not. They don't correct you. Well, let me, you know, I don't really like your beard. They're like, shave it! Cut the hair! You're working for me, I'm the boss. And he goes, having ears. Back up. Why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not perceive? I'm just kidding, you know. I'm just trying to say how they would communicate to one another. You notice I have a little bit of stubble here to move myself. He says, do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? I know it's summertime and a lot of the women are starting to wear the, yep, see, she's got her toes out there. I'm not trying to step on toes. I truly believe all of us have more potential for the kingdom of God, whatever it is. All of us do. He said, do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having ears, do you not see? Having eyes, do you not hear? And do you not remember? When I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets? I believe God's economy is different than ours. He says, how many basketfuls of fragments did you take up? He didn't say, wasn't it wonderful that the poor got fed? No! We were having a meeting! And they needed to eat. It went longer than we thought. Like this morning. Everybody's hungry. And so he went ahead and fed them, but he said, look what we had left over. How much did they have left over? From five loaves, right? How many baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said to him, 12 baskets. Well, the baskets were really small in those days. No, the baskets were probably bigger than our baskets. 12 basketfuls. After the miracle. And then he says this. He says, and in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. He says, and number two. He says, and when I broke the seven for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up? God's economy is different than I truly believe it. And they said, seven basketful. And he said, large basketful. So that way someone goes, well, back in the day, they were more size baskets. No, they weren't. They were large. And I think large basketballs in those days were even larger than our concept. You got that with me? Now, I want to play this video because I have to. And because it's a youth day. And now the youth already know about it. And I really wanted to bring home a point, and I hope it works. And then he says to them, verse 21, he says, and he said to them, how is it you do not understand? Now, I'll be honest. I'm pretty amazed because I think these guys walked with them for 3 1/3 years. They saw more miracles than anybody probably ever saw in their entire lifetime. How could they ever deny it? But when we did our campaign in Nepal, 15 to 25,000, I saw unlimited miracles. It wasn't me. It was just the right time. And I thought everybody would come running to Jesus, but not everybody came running to Jesus. Oh, yeah.